Hunger Games fans, you know that sound. The new film Mockingjay Part 1 opens in theaters tonight. It is the third in the series based on Suzanne Collins' best-selling books. They're set in a dystopian future where an oppressive capital rules over 12 increasingly rebellious districts. Children are forced to compete in the battle-to-the-death Hunger Games. Jennifer Lawrence returns as Katniss Everdeen, also known as the Mockingjay. She's been rescued from her second Hunger Games by District 13, which is leading the rebellion. Her fellow competitor, PETA, played by Josh Hutcherson, was left behind and is now being used by the Capitol for propaganda purposes.
PETA, a lot of people feel as though they are in the dark.
Yeah, I know how they feel.
Now, so set the stage for us. Talk us through what really happened on that final and controversial night.
Well, first off, you have to understand that when you're in the games, you only get one wish. It's very costly.
The rebels, meanwhile, want to use Katniss as a propaganda tool. Francis Lawrence directed the film, and he joins us from KUT in Austin. Welcome.
Thank you.
So the one thing I took away after watching this is no matter what the reviews end up saying, this film is going to make a fortune because everybody in America is going to go see this with their family on Thanksgiving. Why do you think that the nation has been so captivated, not just by this Hunger Games movie, but by the whole story?
Well, I think it goes all the way back to the source material that Suzanne Collins created. You know, she had this idea to write a series of books for teenagers about the consequence of war. And I think every decision that she made was based on that idea. And then she's created a really compelling story, great characters, especially the character of Katniss, which I think is going to sort of go down as one of the great characters of all time. And then you kind of have the magic of this cast, you know, populating those characters.
What was the hardest part about bringing this to the big screen, though? Because there are a lot of things that you have to do that we can just imagine in the book. But when you bring it to the big screen, you've got to create the image on screen and sometimes very complicated images.
Yeah, there's some complicated things in this movie. I think the trick with this is that the first half of this book, you know, we've split the book into two movies. And the first half of this book is very internal, and a lot of this movie deals with a propaganda war. And so in the book, Katniss is thinking about things and hearing about things a lot, and we're not seeing very much of it, which can be fine for a reading experience. But for a movie experience, we needed to figure out how to make that visual. And so the adaptation of that sort of internal dialogue that Katniss is having with herself and turning that into a visual experience was pretty tricky.
It's freeing in a way, though, too, because you get to see things in the film that you would never know were going on in the book. I'm thinking specifically of some of the rebellion in the districts and the blowing up of a dam, if I'm not giving too much away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really fun for us. You know, we sort of call it world expansion. It's all things that could have been happening in the book. We just didn't get a chance to see. And that's the part of what we got to do.
What do you think were the negatives of doing it as a movie rather than a book? I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people who come away saying, I liked the book better, as they always do with movies.
Well, they don't always. Come on.
Most of the time.
Look, I love the book. I think we made this for the fans. I also think that the fans know that you can't sort of exactly turn the book into a movie, especially when it's so internal. So I'm sure there's going to be little, you know, sort of moments and pieces of dialogue that Katniss thought to herself that will never be able to make the movie, that they'll be disappointed about. But I think they're going to be really excited by the things that we did put in and the new additions. And, you know, some of that expansion actually allows us to surprise even the strictest fans.
Why did you split it into two?
Quite honestly, to get more book in the movies. You know, it's always challenging when you take a 400-plus page book and you try and distill it down to a two-hour movie. There's a lot of loss. But, you know, one of the reasons that we did this was that there really are two distinct stories in this, the front end being the kind of propaganda war and where Katniss really starts to take on the responsibility as a symbol for the rebellion and she starts to fight back. The second one, you know, really is a war story and much more about revenge and vengeance. And so they're completely different character arcs for Katniss. So it made it much easier to split.
Well, let's talk about what Katniss is doing in this film, which is largely making propaganda films for District 13. At first, it seems like Katniss doesn't want to take part in this. She later agrees. And here in this scene, Katniss meets the television crew that's going to follow her every move. Let's listen.
You're all from the Capitol? Plutarch got you out?
Don't expect much chit-chat from him. Capitol cut his tongue out years ago. And no, it wasn't any sort of rescue, if that's what you mean. We all fled on our own. For this. For you.
You know, as I was watching this and seeing how important propaganda was, I couldn't help but think of the news that's going on right now and ISIS even making these propaganda films that they are of beheadings and other things.
It's pretty chilling when you see some of the ways that some of the ideas and imagery in this movie is sort of mirrored in what we see on the news today. And I was just recently talking to Suzanne Collins about it. You know, and she said, you know, unfortunately, it mirrors things that have been happening, you know, for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
One of the people we heard in that clip there was Natalie Dormer, who people may know from Game of Thrones. There's also Mahershala Ali is in this movie, who people may know from House of Cards. Did their success in those shows increase their chances of being cast in these roles? Did that have anything to do with it?
No, it was purely their acting ability. I mean, Natalie and I had been trying to work together for a while. Actually, met with her about a TV show years ago. I've been a fan of hers for a long time. A bunch of us were a fan of Mahershala from the show. But really, it wasn't the popularity of the show. It was really just how perfect they were for the characters.
And, of course, there is the late Philip Seymour Hoffman. And there were a lot of questions about what exactly was going to happen with his role. Can you tell us a little bit about what you had to do after he passed away to make this movie? Because he is all over this movie.
Yeah, he is a big part of it. You know, on Catching Fire, he shot for about 3 weeks. And I think over the 3 weeks, he worked for about 10 days. In these movies, we shot part one and part two back to back. He was scheduled for, I want to say, 55 days. I mean, he had a lot more work. He was almost finished with his work on the movies when he died. And he had two substantial scenes left, one for each movie. There was no way we were ever going to try and, you know, duplicate him digitally somehow and craft some kind of a performance. I mean, he, you know, was one of the best, you know, actors alive. And there's no way we're going to try and, you know, make up a performance from him. So we rewrote the scenes and gave his parts to other actors. But, you know, I think quite honestly, the toughest thing for everybody was just dealing with it emotionally. Getting back to work, trying to find a groove again after he died.
This is a Hunger Games movie that does not include a Hunger Games. Do you think people are going to be disappointed by that?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, quite honestly, it was sort of a relief for me that I could tell a story that sort of moves forward and the stakes kind of ratchet up and it becomes a little more global within the Hunger Games world. Rather than sort of following the same kind of narrative structure again and, you know, going back through the Capitol and training and another set of games, I think it would start to feel pretty repetitive by now.
Was there a one-minute period in the film that just took so much more energy and effort than any other part of the film? And can you tell us what it was?
I'd say that the dam, the rebel attack on the dam, I think was a really, really tricky one. You know, you've got loads and loads of extras. You're dealing with a lot of, you know, fake firing, a lot of squib hits, so that everybody that's getting hit with squibs has to get wired with these little dust packs in their costumes. And so, you know, you've got 300 people charging, all getting shot, squibs firing, and then, okay, you got one take. Now you have to rewire all of them again. You know, plus we've got the water spraying and, you know, lots of effects happening there. So that was a pretty tricky sequence.
Francis Lawrence is the director of Mockingjay Part 1. It opens in theaters tonight. Francis Lawrence, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
It's fake blood. I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now.